We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And lead this series one game to none after they take care of the Heat in this opener here in South Philadelphia. 130 to 103, the final.
This is going to take us to the finish line as Brogdon gets up the final shot. And the Boston Celtics, with a hard-fought overtime win over the Milwaukee Bucks. And for Boston, it is their first Game 1 win in the first round since 2011 when they beat the Knicks. Been a long time.
And the Cavaliers have lost a game in a first-round series for the first time since LeBron returned to Northeast Ohio. Game 1 goes to the Pacers. Your final, Pacers 98, Cavaliers 80.
And that will likely do it as Felton's going to pedal across the timeline, and the Thunder win game one of what is likely to be a hotly contested, contentious, combative series involving division opponents. OKC outscores the Jazz in game one, 116-108, to go up one game to none in this best of seven series.
Tucker to Paul, and that'll do it. It's not quite March, but the Rockets did survive and at least advance past the opener of this series with a 104-101 win. Tucker to Paul, and that'll do it. It's not quite March, but the Rockets did survive and at least advance past the opener of this series with a 104-101 win.
Oh, yeah, plenty of entertainment, great games all weekend long. If you're an NBA junkie, you can't beat the start of the playoffs because they were nonstop on Saturday and nonstop on Sunday if you were able, and really go no life, because you could go no life and watch all four.
Yeah, I tried.
And take you late into the night where you're dozing off and stuff. So
I started to watch that game last night, and I got into halfway through the first quarter, and it was over for me. And then I woke up this morning praying that the Wolves won so I can come in here and beat my chest.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was a best of seven. And Minnesota, they all have good teams. And who would have thought that of all the big upsets, it would be the Pacers going into Cleveland and just beating the you-know-what out of LeBron and whatever he's playing with, that group, whatever you want to call that group.
That's a great way to describe it, yeah.
Because that group was brutal. They were brutal shooting. They were brutal playing. And LeBron, I know he didn't have – he was okay. He got knocked around. They got physical with him. And you know what? I was watching the way they played defense on LeBron, and I thought of what Miami did to him this last game. They got physical. Even if they had some fouls called, they wanted to let him know that we're not going to let you just run around and dunk and do different things and make people look foolish. And the rest of that group, I don't know who those guys are, but Pacers, I'm not saying they're going to win this thing, but, boy, I'll tell you what, they beat them by 18. Oladipo was just sensational.
He was amazing.
Kind of the throw-in guy that nobody wanted, was just kind of an athletic defensive guy. Has absolutely made the biggest turnaround in his career. By the way, he is clearly, and it's not even close, I was thinking of most improved players, to where he was kind of lost in Oklahoma City, right?
Yep.
Kind of lost piece. They really didn't want him. And then he goes to Pacers, and you can make an argument he made more of an impact than Paul George did with Oklahoma City, minus last night, who Paul George went off.
Paul George was great last night, but yeah, for that Pacer team, yeah, I would think that Oladipo, there's no drop-off from him, and even when Paul George was amazing.
23 points a game, knocking down shots. He's really worked on his game, and very impressive. I don't know what's going to happen, but it was a little wake-up call for Cleveland, because they got – anybody thought LeBron would be sitting down with a couple of minutes left, and not because they were up 20?
It's because they were down 20.
Down 20 would surprise you a little
Cavs
bit.
Cavs scored 14 in the first quarter, 15 in the fourth, 29 points in two quarters combined, and LeBron had to go this early after game one to the excuse. And it's okay, because I figured at one point he would. It's in one of these rounds where he's like, listen, I'm not worried what this series is like. I was down 3-1 in the finals. I figured that'd come in the round two when he's down 2-1 or 3-1. Not after losing the first game of the playoffs. By the way, if I was reading all the stats right, you know I love stats and numbers. I think LeBron was 12-0 in game ones in his career.
He hadn't lost.
Like, they don't lose. He never loses a game one. Forget about being blown out. He doesn't lose them.
Yeah.
So that's, it's a wake-up call for LeBron. But for him to go to the, I was down 3-1 in a series once to the Warriors, I'm not worried. Having to go to that excuse this early, probably not what he thought he'd be doing right now.
You figure they'll bounce back.
Of course. And, I don't think they're getting swept by Indiana.
And it's not just because of him. Like, his guys,
they're terrible.
Can't be that bad.
No, but they were terrible.
They were brutal. Shooting. Just everything. I think they shot like 39% from the field. It was bad. And anyway, let's jump over to the Miami Heat. Speaking of getting an ass whooping.
Speaking of bad.
Yeah, 76ers make it 17 straight. And second half, after a real tight first half, just blow them out. 74 second half points. And we'll just get in right away to the whole Hassan Whiteside thing. Played 12 minutes, so much for him getting in there and making Philadelphia adjust to what Hassan Whiteside can do and everything else. He plays 12 minutes, goes out not happy. A couple of sharp comments for his coach as he's walking by him, and not pretty. 1-for-4, 2 points. He did have 6 rebounds and 2 blocks. And everything else. And, of course, everybody's going to have their opinion on the use of Hassan Whiteside. Hey, I do agree with this. And actually, somebody, and I came in, I've never done this before. I said, did you read Ask Ira? The first guy, Andrew from Coral Gables, was pretty damn good.
No, he's got a great question. Coaching matters more with some players than others. Eric Spoelstra spent an entire season breaking Hassan Whiteside down instead of coaching him up, benching him consistently, regardless of whether or not he was playing well.
Well,
this was
not quite that.
No, exactly. This is exactly the wrong approach for this player who was questioned all of his career and finally found a team he thought believed in him, only to have a coach turn on him. What did the Heat expect that? But Whiteside would lose confidence. Spoelstra also simply does not know how to use a traditional big man. He has shown this over the years. Spoelstra's cookie-cutter approach, my way or the highway, was dead wrong with this player, and now the Heat and Whiteside are dead in the water. Spoelstra did not do his job with the Heat's highest paid and most talented player. He should not get a pass on this. That was from Andrew and Coral Gables.
All right, and listen, there was some stuff in there that wasn't accurate, but there was some good points as far as Spoelstra. And the way he used this guy, this is by far the best center Spoelstra has ever had. And you got to go back. Shaq's not his guy. Lonzo Mourning's not his guy. Those are all Pat Riley guys. Pat Riley coached him, or Stan Van Gundy coached him. But I just look at this, and yes, I always feel like this, and I say it like once a week. When your best players aren't playing their best, it can make coaches look real bad. Now, he's got to play better. I mean, you just can't find yourself kind of jogging. I always feel like when I watch Hassan Whiteside, I'll get on Hassan here first. I always feel like watching Hassan Whiteside that when they're putting game plans together and watching film, he's asleep.
Yeah.
Because he just always looks lost out there. He does, and he always looks like he's in a jog. I never see the guy very seldom going hard. He just looks like he's always in that cool jog.
Like half speed. Yeah.
So anyway, that side of it. And then the other side is Eric pulls him quickly and it just destroys you, man. If you're going out, you in your mind, whether it's true or not, or you think you're the best player, you know you're highest paid player by far, and you get pulled out like you're the 9th or 10th guy on the team. Constantly get pulled out. I just think it wears on you, man. I think you lose your confidence. I think Spo, I've always felt like this with Spoelstra. He's done a great job, and I understand he's a good coach and he's won championships. But this thing of different lineups, different nights, and not being consistent, except for respecting Dwayne Wade and giving him his minutes, but a lot of other guys in, out, not playing at all, 0 minutes, start. It's hard to be ready for that. Sounds easy, like, oh, the Heat way, be prepared every night. No matter what your role is, it's hard because all guys got egos.
Sure.
It is really hard. So when Spo says that, he can be really stubborn. I think it's the biggest fault he has as a coach. But this thing is not working out. This has been a bad marriage. I don't know if he's going to get motivated. We got Hassan Whiteside. We'll come back and we'll have that later because we're going to have Mark Richt join us coming up in just a few minutes. But we'll get into this Hassan Whiteside stuff later in the show. He's got to be more aggressive. But this is headed for a divorce. If they can find a new girlfriend, because this thing with Eric Spoelstra the way he is,
yep,
and Hassan Whiteside the way he's playing,
it's oil and water. Right
it
now.
Is one of the worst marriages that I've ever seen.
Yep. There's a fire going on.
Giving a guy
right now
damn near $100 million.
No, I know.
It's heading south. They're trying to cover and say nice things. And now you got your center trying to say nice things. And you've got your coach trying to say nice things. I don't know how he's going to play tonight. I don't know if all of a sudden Whiteside's going to play 28 minutes tonight or 26 minutes and play better. Embiid's out again tonight in game two. We'll get in and get everybody's thoughts on this thing because there's just so much to talk about. By the way, this is the best, just the other part of this thing for Andrew from Coral Gables. When he says he doesn't know how to handle center, this is the best center he's ever had. He really hasn't had great centers outside
Eric Dampier? Think about the guys that were here for like the year
so
one.
So before you go getting carried away about that, I thought you had some good stuff in there, Andrew, but the center stuff, if you're going back, you didn't know, use centers. I'll tell you what, though, I went through Riley. I was going through, these are all Riley's guys. And I went, Riley's had four really good centers. Huh?
Riley's had some really Hall of Famers.
Abdul-Jabbar, Patrick Ewing, and Shaq, and then Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah.
Not bad. A lot of winning with those traditional centers.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's part of the what's going on today is everybody is going to get into it. But I do agree with one thing. Spoelstra should not get a complete hall pass just because he's got a very immature. I don't know how you motivate Hassan Whiteside. But this should have been thought out long before. This has almost got the feel and smell of a Dolphin move instead of talking about the Heat. It really does.
That's not good.
So
not good.
You paid this guy all this money, and you can't, whatever it is, you haven't been able to get to him. And I don't think it's a physical thing. I think it's a brain. Like it's buying in, motivated, want to go out and really not talk about how you're one of the top centers, but show it.
I just think when he's jogging up and down the court, it irks Spoelstra so
bad. Oh, yeah. No. You're right on it.
Like, I just think that he looks out there and he knows what Hassan can give him.
He just looks at him.
And Hassan's kind of in the motion but not really in the game. He's out there, but he's not really out there.
Almost egging the coach on, like, the way he plays, like, I'm done with you. You just did nothing. You're a statue out there.
Spoelstra and Riley got to be literally biting all their nails off when he's in the game.
We had a spring football game.
Yes, we did.
We got a lot to get to. Hard Rock Stadium. We got Coach going to join us, Mark Richt. We'll talk about everything. Can we find an offensive line?
Oh.
It rhymed. I wanted to get that. Can we find an offensive line?
Yep.
We just need five, a couple of backups. But we need to find a starting five, get caught up in the quarterback, young guys, how they play. We'll get into all that with Mark Richt when we come back, so stay with us. We're going to be back in a moment to talk about all that stuff.
Radio.com.
All right, spring game was Saturday night at Hard Rock Stadium. University of Miami football team kind of kicked off everything for their big game on Saturday. Remember, all guests appear on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Let's bring on a guest on that Toyota of Hollywood hotline, the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, Mark Richt.
Coach, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing pretty good now, because last time we had you on, you were so fired up, we just let you roll. I don't know what it was, but you were very impressive last time out. All right, let's talk about Saturday night.
Sure.
We got to start with the offensive line before we even talk about the quarterbacks, because same problem, a lot of sacks and a lot of pressures in that scrimmage. Do you feel like you got the start of a starting five, or is it still wide open for you, Coach?
Well, first of all,
we always have a saying in coaching, and we have a saying in coaching that it's never as bad as you think. You know,
right.
You go back and look on the film, and sometimes it's never as good as you think. You walk off thinking you did awesome, and then you watch the tape and go, oh, well, maybe we didn't do so good here and there. But you know, some of those sacks were attributed to tight end play, running back. You know, we did some max protect things where you got a tight end on an end and with the back helping and things of that nature. So we had a kind of – it's typical. And some of it's quarterback holding the ball too long. You know, sometimes they just covered us well and we had good pockets, you know. So it was a little bit of everything. So I felt a lot better, actually, after watching the tape. I do think we've got the right ingredients. We got to just get those guys, you know, repping a lot together. You can have 4 out of 5 guys doing great. And that's another thing about watching film. When you watch tape and you get 4 out of 5 doing it really good and one guy maybe having a missed assignment or one guy getting whipped, you know, it's not like you want that to happen, and it can't happen, but it's a lot better than, you know, 3 out of 5 just being lost and you're in trouble, you know. So we're real close to getting the right 5 in there. And I do like the young guys. They're very talented. They got the ability to do it. But, you know, a couple of them are just rolling in from high school.
Yeah. No, I understand that. Let's talk about the important position, right tackle. Is Navon Donaldson going to be your right tackle? Have you just said with your coaching staff, that's a guy?
If I had to guess today, I would say yes. Okay. I've seen enough from him. And, you know, he's really only practiced twice at that position.
Wow.
One being Saturday.
Yeah.
And one being Tuesday, because on Thursday we went in shorts. And it really, you know, he really didn't get to do some full speed pass rush and all that kind of stuff. So he went Tuesday, Thursday, we were in shorts, and then we played the game. So it wasn't like he had a lot of time out there. But I think the big thing for him is he looks, I don't know what the word is, just re-energized to play that position.
So he wants to.
That's where he wants to be. So he's excited about it. He's working hard towards it. And I think we're going to see him really have a great offseason from now until we get going again.
All right, well, Coach, offensive line had some issues. That means the defensive line obviously did pretty well in that spring game. Talk a little bit about I know that was it Rousseau or someone had a great another good showing in one of these practices games. How'd that defensive line look?
They look really good. Defensive ends, especially, you know, the way we've been playing offense lately, you got the defenses. Defenses have 2 way to make a tackle. Obviously, on a pass rush, if it gets to 3rd and long, and they get around a corner and they get a sack, that happens from time to time. And then the other thing is when we do a lot of our zone read plays, we'll block everybody except for the defensive end. So even if he does it, if he bites the cheese and grabs the back and the quarterback pulls and runs, or if he holds off the quarterback and you hand the ball and then he kind of makes a side tackle on the runner. You know, so he's going to get involved in some tackles, and he did well. Rousseau did. All those guys did well. I like what the interior defensive line is doing, too, especially Gerald Willis. He's been a guy we've had a hard time blocking for a while around here. So Coach Jess Simpson has come in and put some energy in this group, and they know they're learning a lot. He's a very detailed coach, and they're taking to the coaching pretty good.
All right, now to the one that everybody talks about. When in doubt, go to the quarterback position and shout, no question. All right, so not a lot of time for a lot of guys to be impressive. I got that from you, but what did you see from all your guys? Is the competition look any closer, Coach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we're still competing. I mean, we're not going to sit here and just hand it over to Malik and say, you got it no matter what happens, but – you know, I mean, he played well. He hit 9 out of 14. He was mostly accurate. He took advantage of most every chance he got. He didn't get quite as many chances as the other two, quite frankly. The number two unit had a little bit more time and space to make plays. Nikosi played a little bit with the ones and a little bit with the twos. He had the most attempts. And Nikosi, he missed some open people, but he made some plays. He threw a deep post to Hightower. That was probably the best throw of spring ball, you know, and just laid it out there on the button. And then he made some plays with his feet, cut once or twice off the zone read, a couple times off of scrambles, made big plays, you know. So he did a nice job. And then Jaron Williams, he was
he did good. I mean, for a guy who should be in high school and learning so much,
right.
He actually played pretty darn good. He put the ball in the money. He's got some poise back there. You know, he's not panicking back there. I know you're not going to get tackled. You're not going to get sacked, but I don't care who you are. If you're a quarterback and you feel the pressure, you know, coming from the edges or in the middle, and you've got to move around, a lot of guys will just kind of spit the bit and throw it up for grabs, but he doesn't do that.
We know Malik, obviously, last year, the starter, and had a good season the last three games. Of course, everyone, that's what they talk about. But leadership-wise, we know Malik's got the two younger guys. Do you see anything out of them leadership-wise also during spring?
Well, I think Nikosi knows enough now where he can do that. He can take control of a huddle. He can take control of a situation where when you're first learning, it's hard to go be a leader. You're just trying to make sure you're doing the right thing. You know, you make sure you're getting your cadence right. You make sure you're declaring who the Mike linebacker is. You're making sure you're trying to figure out what the coverage is after the snap. I mean, you're thinking about so many things. It's hard to be assertive. And now Jaron's kind of going through that right now in the learning process. Nikosi's coming through that learning process to the point where he can begin to really assert himself as a leader. And he's got that in him.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, well, I'll tell you one thing, that just watching some of your young guys, and you mentioned Brian Hightower, but you got a group of young guys. I know you talked about Russo already, and he just looks right. Like, and listen, the other guys talk about him, that he's just a young puppy with ridiculous talent. But, boy, this true freshman class coming in, we haven't even seen the tight ends yet. You got me right. A little fired up watching these guys playing with the twos and the plays they're making, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, we do have tight ends coming in. We got another couple of receivers coming in. You know, we didn't say anything about Gilbert Frierson, but he makes a great interception in the game and gets to put on the turnover chain and got fired up about that. we got DJ Ivy out there, too. We got really just a bunch of freshmen that are in here that, you know, you got a couple offensive linemen that you don't hear much about because you don't hear much about linemen, period, but you know, we've got guys that are already here, guys that are coming in. We got Pope and Ezard coming in at receiver. You know, I mentioned another running back in Cam. You know, so there's a lot of guys that are still coming in. Blades is coming in. So we got a lot of young talent, and we're going to give them opportunities. We're not stacked deep enough to not let these guys play.
I can't believe I have to say they're the old guys on the team, but what about that linebacker core, that starting linebacker core for you,
man.
with Quarterman? It's amazing because, Coach, I remember just talking to you a year or two ago about all these young puppy linebackers that you're starting. Now they're the old guys on the team.
It's very, very impressive. If you just watch Shaq and Payne in the scrimmage, I mean, they're just – I don't know how to explain it. There's like,
say it, Coach.
It's like they'll see the target. They know what to do, and they get there so fast with a nasty attitude. It's unbelievable. I mean, they love playing football, and they played that spring game like a game, like it was for the national championship. I mean, the effort was unreal, and you might make a ball fake, and you come out on that naked bootleg, you know, and you got everybody fooled, including the linebackers, just for a moment, you know, where you can get out there and break a chain, and then they stick their foot in the ground and they start beelining towards your quarterback and making him uncomfortable when he's trying to throw the ball. Just the sheer hustle has been pretty amazing for all those guys, but those two in particular, super impressive. I love what Michael Jackson's done all spring at corner, and Red Wine has done a wonderful job. We got this new position we call a striker now, and kind of a nickel Sam. You know, Joe, you know what I'm talking about there. But so many people play three receiver sets. That's almost base defense for us, and I think that really worked out for us as well.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I did see that pop up during the week and finding guys and having guys that can do all those different things. But, Coach, I just want to ask you, how far right now, and it happens a lot, I mean, it's very common for pro and college, the offense way behind the defense right now. How far big a difference is there between both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I don't think they're way behind, to be honest with you. I mean, when you look at the tape, you know, there were good plays made and then negative plays, you know. And then so the plays that we did right, like today, we're going to watch it as a staff here in just a little bit. And I'm going to look at every single one. Every time every single guy did what he's supposed to do, what happened? You know, let's look and see when we do it right, what happens.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's make sure we get the right guys in the right places and we get them doing the right things. Plus, when you think about it, when you're going to add an Amon Richards, the two young tight ends we're talking about, you got Pope coming in, you got Ezard coming in, you got some of these young guys like Hightower and Williams that got a taste of it already. And you add this skill set to the offensive, you know, offensive group, and then just settle on your QB, we're going to be just fine.
Coach, I thought at the end of the year when Herndon and Richards kind of went down just about the same time, it just looked like the offense was like, oh, my God, it's going to be pulling teeth here to get first downs and score points. And did you feel that way a little bit too?
Well, I mean, if you look at our three most productive and you know, dominant offensive players, it was Amon Richards, it was Herndon, and it was Mark Walton. Now, we know, you know, that Homer came in and did well, and DJ Dallas, we threw him in there from a receiver back to a running back in the middle of the year, and he did some good things, you know. But those three guys were the best we had, and it wasn't like the guys behind them were sitting there waiting in the wings, you know, ready to just keep it going, because that's not the case at all. And we missed those guys, and you could see it, you know, towards the end that we kind of limped into the last few games. And,
right.
You know, the Pitt game, I mean, we didn't run the ball great, but we did have some open people. That's the way Pitt plays it. If you remember the year before, we put the ball in the money that day and had, you know, I don't know, 350 yards passing, whatever
right.
it was, and had a big day. You know, that day they were just as open. You know, this past year we missed our target, and that's what happened. You gotta hit your target. That was one of those days that we just couldn't get it going.
Coach, what's been the biggest surprise for you in spring football so far?
The biggest surprise.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything player-wise?
It's probably Russo. It's probably Greg. Not that I didn't think one day he would become a pretty good ball player, but he really has taken to coaching. He gained 20 to 25 pounds since he's been here already, Oof. Since January. He is quick. He is agile. You know, he's coachable. He's the nicest kid in America. I mean, he just... I think of all the guys that rolled in, he's probably the one that has shown me the most. And you know, Hightower as well. Hightower's made, you know, you saw him make plays, you know, as a receiver, but he's potentially a great blocker, and he's already he probably was the best blocking wide receiver of the spring if I had to vote for that.
Wow. It's great stuff, man. Couple of true freshmen. Well, I keep calling them. What do we call those guys? I mean, they're true freshmen. They should be true freshmen next year. They should be in high school getting ready for their junior prom right now or the senior ball,
well,
coach.
Some of them are still going to their prom. So. they're still going to go to prom and then go to practice the next day.
There you go. All right, coach. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you. Bye.
Mark Richt, University of Miami Hurricanes head football. It's so weird because I go true freshman. I go, wait a second.
But they're still high school
seniors.
He's
a senior in high school. He's not a senior. And more and more guys are done. I know I've been asked this through the years when this all started.
Would you do it?
Yeah. It would have been hard.
Big man on campus.
Yeah.
No. Or the freshman trying to get playing time.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do at that point? And do so these kids can come for early enrollment and still go to the senior prom?
I guess.
Wow,
time I heard that.
And I might do it.
And when you're coming back?
Oh, Joe, come on.
You are a big man on campus. Well,
I think in that scenario, I would do it. I'd go to spring practice and then just show up for the senior prom? Joe, talk about being the big man on campus.
Yeah, that's just weird, man.
Where were you for the last three months?
It is the biggest change. That of everything is to think that guys can now go like, hey, I'm leaving early from high school.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
Leaving early from high school.
To college football and dominating.
Yeah.
Like Hightower and Russo, the way they just played.
All I read about was Russo.
It's just crazy.
That's it.
We got a lot more stuff to get to. We got more Hurricane stuff to get to. We got NBA stuff to get to. We got some NFL news. Richie, I'm in. I'm out. Just get rid of me. We'll have more on Richie Incognito.
What's going on there?
That's Richie being Richie,
wow.
Man.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Eric
Hassan played 12 minutes and was pulled out after a few abbreviated.
Yeah, it's not about him. The whole second half, this series and this game, it's going to move quickly. There are a lot of subs both ways. There's not a lot of time, based on the flow or the matchups. It's not necessarily even an indictment to his first 4 minutes. But we all have to collectively be better on Monday.
That was Eric Spoelstra. Still not ripping Hassan Whiteside. He didn't have to. He played 12 minutes. You don't have to rip a guy, especially when you get your ass kicked in the second half. You give up 74 second half points and the guy doesn't play. Listen, you don't have to say anything to me. It is, and I know a thing or two about bad marriages. This is a bad marriage. This just
seems like it, at least.
Hassan Whiteside and Eric Spoelstra, they can say whatever they want. They can talk about small lineups, big lineups, energy, matchups, all those things that we've heard now for years and years. Hassan Whiteside played 12 minutes. 1 for 4, 2 points, and then Hassan Whiteside yesterday, and everybody, of course, he was the topic yesterday and yesterday afternoon when the media was able to talk to Hassan about what he needs to do.
I'm definitely, man, just with the pick and rolls, we definitely got to make him pay more. I got to be more aggressive than I was last game. I wasn't that aggressive. I only took like 3 or 4 shots. I got to be more aggressive.
What triggers that? The way that they're defending and you just try to react and read and therefore you're not
I'm just trying to get a feel for the game early, But, we played them. We played them. They're a different team without Embiid. They're a lot different. They're a lot faster. They play quicker. It's more of a fast, up-tempo game. But, it's a lot different.
All right, so between the basketballs bouncing in the back, you heard Hassan Whiteside. Got to get a feel for the game.
Well, I don't understand that.
And I got to play more aggressively.
Oh, that I understand. But why would it take something to play more aggressive?
I can't even imagine playing a professional sport.
And not being aggressive?
And saying, man, I got to play harder. That effort I gave tonight, just like, are you kidding me?
That sums it all up for me when it comes to Hassan Whiteside. Good talent. When he's on, he's on. When he's out there and he's involved in the game, he's good. Here's the problem. How does he not go out every single night and be involved in the game and be in the game and understand the flow of the game? And how does he do that in game one of the playoffs after the last 2 weeks of being ripped and not playing, and you finally have a chance to come out in the playoffs and do your thing, and you come out as lethargic as ever? I just don't understand. He is so not a Heat player. It's not even funny anymore. Like, everyone around the league sees this, right?
Yes.
They have to.
I don't care about the rest of the league, but I would just say this, that for a guy to come out and say that he needs to be more aggressive, obviously he looked at the tapes for his 12 minutes, and Spoelstra's not going to rip the guy. He's going to stay, we're losing as a team, and we got to play, and again, all the stuff that coach talk stuff. But this guy, even talking about it, and I think he won't. He said it. Now he's been told he's got to be careful. He's been told don't say anything that's going to affect the locker room and the culture and all that stuff. But Hassan Whiteside has definitely been affected by getting jerked out of these games so fast. He has. Listen, it would affect everybody. If all of a sudden, whatever your favorite sport is, and you don't know when you're supposed to pinch hit, you get off to a bad start and you get pulled out of a baseball game at second base because you make an error. You're always looking over your shoulder. It's tough way. You got to be one mentally tough son of a gun. And you got to get, first of all, you get pulled out a few games. You're like, damn, you're going to play hard whether it's good or not. You're going to play like a maniac so that you don't least lose your minutes and you're playing. So this is really a combination. I look at both sides. I just don't think Spo connects with what makes Hassan Whiteside, what makes him tick, which, by the way, part of that, whether he's immature, whatever, falls back on coaches. I feel like I've had these conversations with another guy in town, the football coach, about some of these same things, but it makes Spoelstra look bad, partially, instead of just everybody attacking Hassan Whiteside nonstop. You guys gave him the money. You were in on the decision to keep him. You got to make it work, and you haven't. And he's gotten worse.
Yep. He's definitely regressed. He hasn't gotten better.
And it doesn't help by just going, basically, you play him 12 minutes, and I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Usually when this happens, we get a nice game out of him.
A little bounce back game.
A little bounce back. But we've done this so many times. And now it's a playoff, so, of course, everything gets blown up now.
Of course, because now you're down 0-1.
Everything's much larger because it's a playoffs. And we saw through these playoff games how much more things, the energy level in these games is up. They gave up 74 second-half points, and Hassan Whiteside didn't play that much, so don't blame him for the second half. And some of those looks, Philadelphia, now they made some wild-ass shots. Like, they were trying to save one shot that looked like it was almost going out of bounds. Bellinelli grabs it and turns it into a three-point shot running out of bounds.
Joe, they shot 64% from three-point land. If that happens on a given night, you're not going to win the game. It doesn't happen all the time. The problem is that when it does happen like that, you're going to get blown out. And when you have guys on your team starting, guys like Hassan, who are out there for 12 minutes, and it just looks like they're kind of jogging, and they don't really care what's going on. But I will tell you this.
He went in there, though, for most of that 74 points.
No, that second half. It doesn't seem like he was in there at all.
Don't blame him.
I'm not blaming him for that second half, but I am blaming him for the fact that if I'm Eric Spoelstra, I'm going to have a quick kind of trigger with him also. If he's out there just not looking like he's playing, I'm pulling him.
Don't worry, Spoelstra's not changing.
Yeah.
Pulling him out. He and Pat Riley aren't going to sit down and go, and Pat's going to go, look at you.
You got to play him.
You got to play this
guy.
If we're going down, he's got to play. I just don't think that will happen. But boy, I'll tell you, it is frustrating, this thing between them. If you haven't heard, Embiid is out for game two tonight, 8:00 start. And, I think they have a chance. I can't imagine Philadelphia's going to come close to playing that well offensively.
No, I mean, shooting 64% from three-point land.
Hit 18 of 28 shots. Come on. We'll see how this thing's going to play out.
But if you would have told me that he would lose by 27 in the first game of the series and the Phillies would score 130 on him, I would say you're crazy.
Let me give you another one, too, that is probably going to get a hall pass. You can't play as many minutes as Richardson did. He didn't play any defense.
No.
And he was 1-for-7. And had 4
didn't
points.
Have much offense either.
You can't have two of your starters, Whiteside and Richardson, give you a total, grand total of 6 points.
No. Not going to work. Now, not going to work.
And once again, starting five, a lot of them didn't play a lot of big minutes, but no production. Just nothing. Nothing there.
43 points from your starters, 76 from Phillies.
Yeah.
That says it right there also.
So –
because both benches played well.
But I will tell you this. I know what's going to happen in this series. I mean, if they play like they did the other night, this thing will be over fast, but that doesn't usually happen. 76ers, from top to bottom, I think have right now, with healthy, because some of the other teams are injured, that right now with what everybody has, Philadelphia, to me, by far, has the most talented team.
It's hard to argue that.
Shooting. Inside, when they get their big man back, their point guard's not looking to score. He gets everybody involved, and yet he's 6'10", and it's like having an extra center in there when he needs to.
Ben Simmons, a really good player. Really good.
You just look at everything, and then all the shooters that they have.
They picked up Atlanta scraps from, like, the waiver, you know, when they were waving guys. And both these guys came off the bench, and they scored 42 points.
Yeah, they were real good. They got some bigs that can shoot from the outside, which doesn't help Hassan Whiteside.
Because
the last thing Hassan wants to do is try to cover a guy
out
from
there
20 feet.
That's why KO and Bam are getting a lot of playing time, too.
So, anyway, all this stuff's going on. It's just been really, really tough. So, we'll see if you believe in tonight they can bounce back on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. We'd like to get your thoughts on Hassan Whiteside and Eric Spoelstra, because whatever it is, I think we can all agree right now it's a bad marriage.
No, it's bad.
It's a bad marriage. I don't think either guy should get a complete hall pass.
No, I agree.
If you're blaming one 100%, I think you're making a mistake.
I think if you're pointing in one direction, understand it's 80% what you think and 20% the other way. Whether you're a Whiteside guy or a Spo guy.
I don't think Spo cares. I just think Spo told him, hey, things are going to get crazy. Put your ego aside. I'm going to play you how I think's best. Don't take it personally. Here's how we're going to do it. And the guy that's been affected the most is your $100 million center. Anyway, we got to go to break. We got 7 o'clock hour. We got a lot more to get to. A lot of NFL news coming up over the weekend that was pretty interesting in the league that never sleeps. The draft right around the corner. And today, the start of NFL workouts, which means for the Dolphins, the start of a new culture. We'll have more on all that's weird. I know it's weird
you
to talk about.
You couldn't even say that with a straight face.
Oh, it's crazy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.